The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
At FBI headquarters, Neil is bored to tears. Peter asks, who he thinks did it? I'm thinking it was the accountant in the law office. Peter, with the illegal wire transfer? Neil responds, either that or Colonel Mustard in the library. We can pull prints on the candlestick. White collar clue sounds incredibly dull. Glad we skipped that case. Peter tells Neil to grab the file. Neil protests that they have clerks for that. Peter says, I got something better. I got you. Really, Neil? It's a file. You're not scrubbing toilets. Neil can't figure out the filing system and meets Lauren, who transferred to Peter's team. Neil's flattered to be in her Quantico thesis. He asks if she found anything interesting, and she says, truth or rumor? Neil asks, is there a difference? Maybe not in your world, Neil, but for the rest of us, yes. So she exposits that while Neil was only convicted of one crime, he's suspected in a whole lot more. Neil thinks Lauren transferred to get to know him, and Lauren says, yeah, you know, I wasn't going to pass up a chance to work with someone I've admired since college. Neil's ego is bigger than the room. Hey, play your cards right, I'm sure we'll make it a case or two. And no, that line isn't quite as smarmy as it sounds. But it's close. Cringeworthy. Lauren responds, oh, honey, I was talking about Agent Burke. He caught you twice, right? Neil bounces back quickly and asks for help finding the file. Yeah, we've got clerks for that. I find these two boring together, so moving on. Jones races upstairs to Peter's office. Finally, some action. He tells Peter that Elizabeth and another woman have arrived and they look upset. You know, a buddy of mine, he always kept a separate cell phone. One for the wife, one for the girlfriend. Well, it helps avoid this kind of crossover. Classic delivery. Jones assumes Peter's cheating. Has he met Peter? It's not my girlfriend, okay? I don't have a girlfriend. Peter exposits that it's Dana Mitchell, Elle's high school friend. Elizabeth marches up and says they need to talk, prompting Jones to leave quickly. Smart man. Peter tells Elle to have a seat, but gets up himself when she does not. Nice manners. Peter. Elle says Dana's husband, John, is in trouble. Peter remembers him as Hot Wings Man. That's funny. He's wanted by the FBI for stolen Iraqi gold. Fingerprint and hair evidence is stacked against him. Neil interrupts with the file and, sensing the tension, tries to leave. Elizabeth tells her to stay. She wants Neil's opinion. Just because someone's accused of doing something doesn't mean that person is guilty, right? You really think he's the best person to ask? Neil says he may be innocent. Peter notices that Mitchell is on the run, and Elle says he had his brother's house. Peter throws a gasket over aiding and abetting. Neil decides he grabbed the wrong file. Again, smart. This time, Peter won't let him leave. We have your prints and the hair on the scene, and you're on the run. Are you guilty? Elle responds, of course. Oh, now he's the best person to ask. Neil says Mitchell should turn himself in, and Elle agrees. Mitchell is turning himself in. So Peter and Neil exchange, oh, great. Mitchell pulls up to the FBI and exchanges hugs with Dana and Elizabeth. Peter feels guilty, and Neil exposits that some of the thousand-year-old gold artifacts were melted down. Mitchell declares his innocence, and Peter mentions his prints on the gold. Mitchell is stunned. Against his lawyer's advice, he tells Peter that he was approached to smuggle things back to the U.S. by Patrick Ames of the State Department, but he said no. Peter will look into it, but for now, Mitchell is arrested. Neil is particularly interested in Mitchell's arms. Neil thinks Mitchell is innocent. Peter asks why, and Neil wonders about the statute of limitations. I love when his past nefarious doings benefit a case. Neil and Peter notice Mitchell's surprise about the fingerprints, but moreover, You can't melt precious metals without getting splash burns. Mitchell's arms were clear. Peter says it doesn't make him innocent, but they look into Ames, who is played by former Burn Notice baddie Simon Escher and current comic goldmine on Raising Hope. Peter exposits that Ames worked in reconstruction in Iraq, but now he's into private security. Peter questions him about why Mitchell would give Peter his name. Ames denies any knowledge, but his bodyguard has blisters all over his arm. Peter has what he needs, and Jones assembles the artifacts. It's time to re-examine the evidence. In the conference room, Neil joins Lauren, Jones, and some priceless Iraqi antiques. He lifts one up, and Lauren throws a fit. I'm looking for clues. Yeah, you're looking for your next jail sentence. Neil snarks that she just joined the team, but she counters, yeah, and I didn't even have to go to prison first. He hands Neil latex gloves. Better point, what was Neil thinking? Jones asks how Neil would frame someone, and he retorts, I've never framed anybody, only been framed. Yeah, keep up that story. Maybe someone will buy it. Peter tests Neil about the fingerprints, and Neil notices they are all left-handed. Peter calls that impossible, and they discuss it over drinks. Neil clarifies that a set of clean prints is needed to frame Mitchell, but is stumped by why it's only the left hand. Peter adds that they found the gold through an anonymous tip. Red flag. And Neil suggests Peter slow down on the beer. Apparently, Dana is staying at Peter's, and while they both commiserate on their situation, Peter can't handle crying. He's completely thrown, and it's funny to see the in-control agent Peter Burke uncomfortable. Luckily, Neil notices that Peter's only touched his beer with his right hand. Whoever lifted Mitchell's prints had drinks with him. Peter arrives home and asks if they want good news or bad news. Dana flips that there is bad news, and Elle gives Peter the stink eye. He recaps the prints and asks about Mitchell's schedule. Dana starts crying, and Peter is flustered, saying, this is good news. Elizabeth drags him to the hall. Peter needs to know if Mitchell was cheating on Dana, and Elle refuses to let him interrogate her crying friend, so Elle and Dana talk. Sometimes, Peter doesn't realize he's an FBI agent. Dana and John fought over a journalist doing a follow-up story who took him out for drinks. Elle says John wouldn't cheat, but Dana doesn't know what to believe. Also, John's Yankee cap disappeared at that bar. Finds the hair evidence. Back at the office, Neil and Peter recap, again, and Neil asks why Elizabeth talked to Dana. Peter says, I thought some female intuition would be helpful. Neil calls him on it. Dana started crying, didn't she? I love how these two get each other even in the beginning. Peter defends, I didn't even do anything. I had no idea what went wrong. The journalist, Alicia Teagan, was embedded with Mitchell's unit. They recap the episode again for anyone who wasn't paying attention. And while I appreciate the break, they recapped a lot already this episode and we're only at the 15-minute mark. Are viewers really that dim? They brainstorm that Ames had Teagan use her press status to bypass customs. The news station, Peter checks in while Neil flirts with a publicist. Peter tells Neil to watch Teagan's reaction to hearing an FBI agent is waiting for her. Neil protests and uses the publicist's key card to gain access himself. He skirts Phil, the security guard, by bringing in a whole stack of coffee. However, Peter is not happy to see Neil inside. He hands out coffee to the crew, saying he's the new sports anchor. Peter interrogates Teagan. Neil breaks into a locked drawer in her office using a paperclip, finding a pawn shop receipt, and copies it. Peter's distracted by following Neil's progress while trying to stall Teagan.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Outside, Neil gives Peter the pawn shop ticket, and Peter crumples it up. Luckily, Neil made two copies. Smart. And he gets Mozzie to check it out. Peter arrives home where he is promptly kicked out so Elle and Dana can have girl time. He heads to Neil's, where Neil studies old maps to figure out the bottle clue Kate left him in the pilot. He realizes that X in Bordeaux is the clue. X marks the spot. Kate loves the classics. Neil calls Moz with the news and Moz heads over because he's got good news too. There's a knock at the door and Neil assumes it's Mozzie, but Peter's there with wine and beer. At least he brought a gift. Peter says he wants to solve the case, but Neil knows it's to avoid Dana. Maz knocks and Neil tries to silence him, but he's already talking about the coin from the pawn shop. Neil calls him Mr. Havisham. Havisham, if you prescribe to the Great Expectations idea. Mozzie tries backtracking by saying he's courting June. Peter asks if Neil wants to keep going, but Neil says, "No, I don't. You're right. This is..." Peter stops him. "No real names." "Good, because I doubt Mozzie is his real name anyway." Peter says, "I thought you'd be taller." Moz sniggers, says, "Yeah, me too." Peter offers Moz a drink, while Neil shakes his head with apprehension. Moz says he doesn't drink, but Peter says, "You do tonight." Gin's good. Neil's mortified. "I laugh too hard to care." Neil is even more uncomfortable as Peter and Mozzie bond over Kate's mysterious clue. Peter says, "I don't get it. The girl leaves nothing but an empty bottle behind. The least she could do is leave a full one." They laugh while Neil scowls. "I'm with Neil here. It's cruel to tease him about his missing love." Both Moz and Peter look half drunk, which means they are both stone sober, implying the other for info. Peter mentions the view and Moz champions con man philosophy over Neil's objections. "It's not about the stuff, it's about doing what we want to do. Who cares about 9-to-5s and 401ks? Playing by the rules only makes borders that just take away everything that's good about living life." Neil stage whispers, "Moz, you lived in a storage unit." "I wonder where he lives now." Moz protests that he's really living while Peter and Neil exchange smiles. "As long as I don't have to live under anyone else's time or dime, I'm a free man. I can do whatever I want." "Like going to the pawn shop and getting the coin you have in your pocket?" Busted. Round one to the FBI. Neil signals Mozzie to show Peter the ancient Islamic dinar stolen from a Muslim museum. Alicia is part of the theft, but Peter can't use the evidence to prosecute her. "Oz, your rules, Tin Man, not mine." Neil tells Peter to hand the coin over as Peter hatches a plan. Neil meets Tegan at the news station and they roll camera for an interview. Neil tells the story of two people, a greedy thief and an opportunistic beauty who finds treasure, smuggle it out, and frame an Iraqi soldier. Tegan wants to stop camera and says he needs proof. Neil pulls out the coin and asks if she recognizes it. "What's this story is missing is an ending. I'm not sure what happens to Mitchell. The outcome of his life may as well be decided on the toss of a coin." Neil flips the coin and asks Tegan to call it. She yells to turn the cameras off. At FBI headquarters, she flips on Ames and says she only did it because of the market crash. He took some gold coins, but Ames made Mitchell the fall guy. They melted the gold to keep the FBI from looking for the rest of it. Tegan doesn't know where the rest is, so Peter sets up a sting. Tegan will tell Ames that the Mitchell case is unraveling, and the FBI is on their trail to get him to sell the gold immediately to a private buyer. Neil is the wealthy buyer. Jones and Lauren go over his cover, but Neil is not impressed by the car. It's a Mercedes, but Neil counters, "Oh, this isn't even an S-Class. I need it to look like I can drop a few million on antiquities. This says, look what I kept in the divorce." "Really? You can't make this work? What kind of a con man are you? The Neil Caffrey I did my thesis on could make this work." Neil heads to his place to wake up Moz. "Did you draw my face? How old are they?" A practically comatose Mozzie tries to decipher Neil's recap and lands on the need for an impressive car. Moz says, "I'll get my Slim Jim." Neil says, "No theft," and Mozzie air quotes, "Yeah, we can't steal it," before falling back on the couch. Steals every scene he's in. Decidedly more awake, Moz walks with Neil to a car wash. They are dressed as FBI and claim one of the limos being cleaned was involved in a 418, which, by the way, is a missing persons case. Moz finds gunshot residue, and Neil says they can either take the car or charge the cleaning crew with whatever they find in the back. Moz chauffeurs Neil, Tegan, and Lauren to the meet. To Jones and Peter's astonishment, Jones, "I guess he made it work." Jones asks about Mozzie. "Peter, that's Havisham, good man." Tegan is nervous, knowing how dangerous Ames is, but they double-cheek kiss before entering a museum. Ames tries to trip Neil up on ancient history, but Neil knows his Romans. The van folks smile at Neil's knowledge as he tells Ames that the museum pieces are real, not reproductions. Ames responds, "I've always believed that the best place to hide something is in plain sight." Tegan falls apart, so Lauren says they should move things along. Not so quickly. The bodyguard and Lauren pull guns. Ames, "Don't play games with me. You're with the FBI. Neil says, "Technically, I'm just a consultant. She's with the FBI. Good one, Neil, but I don't think Ames cares. Ames splits and Peter chases him. Mozzie is eating Chinese and drinking wine in the limo when he sees Ames pull a gun. So he hits him with the limo. Funniest thing, the whole episode. Maz rolls down the window and tells Peter, "I was never here." Peter thumps the limo roof while Mozzie drives away. They make an awesome team. In the museum, Neil calls standoff, but Lauren tells the bodyguard to shoot Neil, and she will book him for murder too. Neil is unappreciative. Jones rushes in and stands off over Neil. "Nice bluff. No, you were bluffing." Lauren just walks away. Everyone is handcuffed, and Neil tells a relieved Peter, "Looks like he can go home again." Peter brings Mitchell to Dana. As they kiss, Elizabeth and Peter join a mutual admiration society. Nell is proud of Peter, but Peter gives her all the credit. "If you hadn't given me that push, well, it was more like a nudge, maybe a little love tap. More like a left hook." Nell says John will be happy to be home, and Peter wholeheartedly agrees. He's not the only one. They hug, and I maintain that they are the most awesome TV couple around. This episode had a nice twist in that you rarely see a procedural tackle a frame-up over a who did it. It was a refreshing change of pace. I also love Peter and Mozzie meeting for the first time. However, Lauren always feels like the writers are trying too hard and there's way too much recapping in the episode. I like how they seem to outgrow much of this as future episodes progress. But with that, let me know your thoughts in the comments section below. What did you think of this episode of White Collar Season 1? And of course, give us a thumbs up if you like our video. Hit that subscribe button down below. Hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And of course, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/cinemagold. As always, your support helps the channel grow, upgrade our equipment, bring in new hosts, be able to pay them, and take this show on the road. As always, you can find us on all major podcast platforms. And of course, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app. Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.